A load of coal upon my back. I sell my coal to be so sad.
Blackberry, blackberry.
The New Orleans waterfront is old and dirty and damp, but I like it here. I like the chant of the coal peddler as he plods past my bar on Bourbon Street. I like the call of the blackberry woman, who's still singing the same song she sang when pirates hid their loot at Jean Lafitte's blacksmith shop in the French Quarter. And I like the Mississippi, where a man and a boat can find a dream. Yeah, I like New Orleans. They call me Jason. I call my boat the Golden Fleece.
NBC presents Jason and the Golden Fleece, starring MacDonald Carey.
Kent Sherwood was the guy who discovered Linda Gale. She was working in a rodeo in Wyoming, where she was billed as the prettiest cowpuncher on the Western Plains. Sherwood cast her for a small part in a fast horse opera, and she stole the show from everybody, including the horses. Then there were 4 Academy Awards, a command performance in Buckingham Palace, a USO tour to every front in World War II, and a couple of things I can't remember. But I remember enough now to realize why I didn't recognize the name of Kent Sherwood. He married her. Sherwood's business manager and his public relations expert filled me in on a few other details of my place in the 800 block on Bourbon Street of the New Orleans French Quarter. They came to arrange a honeymoon cruise for Sherwood with another woman. I was playing the concertina in the corner, and Louis was behind the bar, and we didn't pay too much attention to them when they walked in. Later, I wished we'd listened a little closer to what they had to say, but it probably wouldn't have done much good. They really didn't know too much themselves about what went on in the mind of Kent Sherwood.
The girl's name is Felicia Romita, Jason. You have your bartender bring me a bourbon and milk.
Bourbon and milk?
Yeah, he's not supposed to drink, Jason. He figures the milk is good for his ulcers.
Oh. Louis.
Maman, Jason.
Just bring us over a bourbon and milk.
I better make it 2, huh? I'm having a little trouble with my stomach myself.
As I was saying, Jason, her name's Felicia Romito.
Yeah, look, Alan, you better tell him we're going to do something about that name, of course.
It's your department, Donovan.
Do I understand correctly, bourbon and milk?
Well, you catch away red that, Alan. Look over that way for a minute, bartender, huh?
What?
That's it. Now look there, huh?
Pardon, monsieur.
Isn't that a great face, Alan?
Yeah, maybe. That accent. Ooh, nothing.
Here are your drinks, monsieur.
You know, I've been thinking about calling Felicia Shirna Storm. Now, just listen to that, Jason. Shirna Storm. You like that?
I'm a sailor. If you won't bother me at the wheel of the Fleece, I won't interfere with your naming of your actresses.
Yes, but do you like it?
What difference does it make?
Well, it makes all the difference in the world. You're the public, the great American public that's going to make a star out of this little girl. Now, look, Shirna Storm. You like it?
You fellows are planning to shove off in the morning. We'd better start talking about the cruise.
Now, look, Alan, it's a natural. You get the tie-in, reminds folks of Linda Gale. Now, that was a name that sang. You know what Linda means in Spanish. Pretty. Linda Gale. A pretty wind.
What's that got to do with Felicia?
Well, Sherwood's second great discovery. Shirna Storm. Shirna. That. You know what it means in German, don't you? Pretty. Pretty storm. You get it? Lovely, alluring, but dangerous, too. That's greater than Linda Gale.
What was her real name?
Who knows? Alberta something or other, I forget. But do you like this F.A. Now, look, does it sing for you? Tell me. Shirna Storm. Oh, Shirna means pretty in German, you know.
Felicia Romito's Italian.
So what?
Look, gentlemen, while Mr. and Mrs. Sherwood are gone on their honeymoon, you can find yourselves a quiet spot in the French Quarter and figure out a name for the bride.
Oh, we're going along, Jason.
Well, sure. Who ever heard of a honeymoon without a good publicity, man?
Yeah, it's all right with me if it's all right with Sherwood, but 4 sounds like quite a crowd for a honeymoon.
Well, there'll be 5 altogether. We've got to have a photographer.
naturally.
As a matter of fact, Jason, I'll be six.
Oh, now look, you're not bringing along that lousy secretary of yours, are you, Alan?
I was thinking of Linda.
I don't pretend to keep up with things in Hollywood too well, Alan, but I do know that Linda Gale's been dead for over a year.
Oh, yeah, I know, Jason, but it's still going to be pretty hard to keep her from going along on this cruise.
I charged that crack up to the talent of over-dramatizing a situation that seemed to be characteristic of the particular section of the motion picture world I was going to have aboard the Fleece. But when Louie and I stopped for breakfast at a little spot just a block from the canal the next morning before shoving off, I saw something that made me wonder. There was a dark-haired girl in a booth toward the back.
Yeah? What'll it be, sailor?
Just this coffee for me.
Yeah. How about you?
A couple of fried eggs. Over easy.
Two over easy.
Louie. You see that girl in the booth over there?
Me? But it is not polite to stare, Jason.
I can't help it.
She is a beautiful woman. There is no question of this. But even with the limited amount of attention I've given her, I've been able to determine that she's wearing a wedding ring.
Yeah.
And what is more, the gentleman seated beside her is obviously her husband.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you not drink your coffee?
Go to the movies much, Louis.
Oui.
But even after this experience, I find it possible to drink my coffee.
Remember a girl named Linda Gale?
Yeah?
Long, dark hair, big, wide, brown eyes, and...
These were not the details of Mademoiselle Gale's appearance that impressed me, Jason. But she's been dead for some time now.
I know. But look at that girl in the booth.
Huh?
Look at her.
Oui, now that you mention it, the resemblance is remarkable.
That's no resemblance, Louis. That's Linda Gale. The girl in the booth never noticed that I was watching her, and I watched her closely enough to be certain she wasn't a ghost. She kept her eyes on the man who, as Louis had so pointedly told me, was obviously her husband. They left before we'd finished, and I thought again about what Alan had said about the possibility of Linda Gale sailing with us on this cruise. But I was willing to accept Louis's explanation that the whole illusion was the result of my being up too early in the morning with too little sleep the night before. A half hour later, we jumped aboard the Fleece.
There is Monsieur Alain, the bourbon and milkman.
Yeah, he looks like you didn't mix in enough milk.
You all set, Jason?
Just about. Where's your friend Donovan?
A compartment. We slept there. Photographer, too.
And Monsieur and Madame Sherwood?
I came aboard a few minutes ago, I think. I heard someone.
How long ago?
Oh, 5-10 minutes. Why?
Nothing. We better light off the engines, Louis.
Oui, Jason. But before I do, perhaps Monsieur Allen would describe Madame Sherwood for Jason, huh?
She looks just like Linda Gale. You remember her, don't you?
That is what I thought.
In other words, if you've seen one of Sherwood's wives, you've seen them all, huh?
You figure things out fast.
Oui, this Jason is a smart one.
Light off the engines, Louis. I'll check below.
Oui. And if you see any ghosts there, do not hesitate to call me.
Well, I'll get Sherwood and the girl and the photog up here. We better get a few shots of this.
Yeah. I guess you'd better.
Now, what's so funny?
Well, I was... just thinking you could use the same pictures you took of Sherwood's honeymoon with Linda Gale.
No, it wouldn't work at all. Sherwood took Linda to Hawaii. Same characters, but entirely different background.
Felicia looked even better aboard the Fleece than she had in the little restaurant. She had her black hair tied with a pink ribbon that matched a pleated blouse that would have looked expensive even without her inside it. Light blue pedal pushers, bobby socks, and saddle shoes completed the outfit. And if you get the idea from that detailed description that I looked her over pretty carefully, you're wrong. I looked her over very carefully. I looked at Sherwood, too, but only long enough to decide he didn't look happy enough for a guy on a honeymoon with a girl who looked like Felicia. And he wasn't.
Aren't we about ready, Jason?
We'll haul in the lines in a minute, Sherwood. I thought I'd give you time for your pictures.
I'd just like to get a couple with a photog on the dock, Kent, huh?
All right. But let's get it over with, Donald.
All right. Get over on the dock, Chuck, will you?
Yeah, right.
What's the matter, Kent?
Nothing, Felicia. I'm just anxious to get started.
I bought a bottle of champagne in the French Quarter. Will you drink a toast with me?
Hey, that's great. Yeah, make like you're breaking the bottle over his head, honey.
No champagne, Felicia.
But, Kent,
here, give me that bottle.
No. Let her hold the bottle, Mrs.
Oh, Kent, you broke it.
Yes, I intended to. That's enough pictures.
But, Mr. Sherwood, I didn't even get this one.
I said that's enough.
You're the boss.
Jason.
Yes, sir.
Let's get underway immediately.
Right.
Kent, I'm sorry if I did anything wrong.
Never mind, Felicia, never mind. And don't cry.
All right. I'm sorry.
Cast off, Louis.
Please, yes, sir.
Look, Kent, I don't get it.
I just don't want any more pictures, Donovan. Especially any with champagne bottles.
But we always used to get at least one shot like that and everything we took of Linda Gale.
There's one thing we'd better get straight in right now, Donovan. Felicia is not Linda Gale. Sherwood's face was hard and stern as he said that, and he almost spit out the words. Felicia looked up at him, sad and bewildered. She hadn't recovered much by sundown. I was in the wheelhouse, and the Fleece was cutting the river toward the Gulf when she came topside.
Hello, Jason.
Hello yourself, whoever you are.
As of the moment, I'm still Felicia. I haven't talked to Mr. Donovan or Mr. Allen lately, though. Maybe changed by now.
Maybe I'm a little stupid, but I sort of like Felicia. It's, well, different.
Apparently, they don't want anything different.
You do look a lot like her. Back in that restaurant this morning, I thought I was seeing a ghost.
Yes, I know. It's a pretty night, isn't it?
Yeah. Maybe your husband would like it.
He didn't feel too well, Jason.
That's funny. From the way Donovan and Allen talked, I thought he'd be quite a sailor.
It isn't that. I wish I could talk to somebody about it.
I'd be willing to listen, but I'm afraid I don't know as much about him as our other passengers.
I can't talk to them. Anyway, I don't think they know him either. Maybe nobody does.
Nobody knows anybody else real well.
I guess Linda Gale did.
Maybe.
He must have loved her very much. Losing her must have hurt him more than I realized. I guess I shouldn't have married him so soon.
She's been dead more than a year.
Doesn't seem like it at all. I keep thinking she'll be coming back.
Did you ever meet her?
I was 15 years old and 1,000 miles away when she won her first Academy Award. I didn't get to Hollywood until just a few weeks before she died.
That's right. You were back in Wyoming.
Tacoma, Jason. Wyoming's where Linda was from.
Sorry.
It's all right. Everybody does it. Even Kent, I guess. I probably just caught him on the rebound. He must have thought he could find her over again with me.
You've got to expect to be compared to her, Felicia. You must have known that before you married him.
I'm getting used to it. But I'll never get used to it from Kent. I can't stand being compared every minute of my life to a woman who's dead and won't be buried.
If you don't mind my saying so, it doesn't look like you're doing too much to help him forget her.
What do you mean?
Well, I never knew her, but from what I saw of Linda Gale in the movies, I'd say you're doing everything you can to act just like her.
I'm all mixed up, Jason. I don't know how to act. I thought being like her was what Kent wanted, and I want to make him happy. I guess I just don't know.
Do you have any idea why that champagne bottle made him sore?
Probably reminded him of Linda. I remember way back in those days, they used to call her the champagne girl. Where I came from, a bottle of root beer or a chocolate milkshake was a big night for me. But I thought Kent would like it.
Why don't you try just being yourself?
I'd like to, Jason. But nobody will let me.
The little girl from Tacoma wanted to cry, but she just stood there beside me, looking down at the muddy water. until Louis came topside to relieve me at the wheel. I took her below to the galley for a cup of coffee, half and half, which was the closest thing to a chocolate milkshake we had aboard. Alan was there ahead of us, and he was having his coffee black.
You know, this stuff is hot enough to burn through the lining of my stomach. If I have any stomach left, after sampling your bartender's work last night, Jason.
Louis mixed them the way you ordered them, Alan, bourbon and milk.
The only thing I can figure is he put in too much milk. What's doing, Felicia?
Not much, Mr. Allen. Where's Kent?
Compartment. You got any aspirin, Jason?
Two bottles up there in that locker. The one on the left is for headaches you get from drinking milk.
All right, thanks. You know, I sure wish Sherwood would get off this boat kick or else quit getting married.
I'll get you a cup of coffee, Felicia.
I really ought to go to Kent.
Have a cup of coffee first. Okay.
How's the weather look, Jason?
Fine. Not a cloud in the sky.
That's good. You should have seen the storm we ran into on our way to Hawaii.
Alan, look. Felicia's a little upset.
It's all right, Jason. I'd like to hear about Kent's first honeymoon.
Hey, Alan. Alan, I think I got it. Now, look, look. See how this hits you. Bonnie Moore.
Mm-hmm.
M-O-O-R. Moore. Moore. No E on the end. You get it?
N-O, Donovan.
Oh, come on. Oh, come on. Look, more, more. Like the place on Wuthering Heights. Moody, sinister, exotic. And Bonnie, of course, means pretty in Scotch. Now tell me, does that hit you?
Yeah, right in the pit of my stomach.
Cup of coffee, Donovan?
Oh, that the best you can do, Jason?
Sorry.
That's okay. I'll try a shot of it. Now, seriously, though, Alan, look, what do you think? Bonnie Moore. See? No E on the end.
I don't feel good enough to think. Besides, you just interrupted the start of some very pleasant reminiscing.
Huh? Like what?
The trip to Hawaii, you remember?
Huh? The honeymoon. Oh, great. Million laughs. Oh, Jason, you should have been on that one.
I was just telling you. You remember the storm?
Oh, brother, was I sick. The night before it hit, did I get loaded? And then that fire.
That must have been hilarious.
You should have seen it, Jason. We're out there in the middle of nowhere. About 3 days out, and we're all up on deck, hanging over the rail. And then we see the smoke.
Yeah, you thought it was a low cloud.
Yeah. Well, Linda, she's the only one that kept ahead. I don't know what would have happened if it hadn't been for Linda.
Where was the skipper?
Oh, Dad, was he blind. After that storm or so, we found out we were headed for Alaska.
But the fire was the greatest. There was smoke and flames all over the place. And Linda... she puts the whole thing out.
You know, I made every paper in the country and the magazine cover with that story.
She was sensational. Oh, you remember she had this mink coat?
Yeah.
She smothered the flames with it?
Do you know there was $5,500 in damage on the goat alone?
The coat wasn't even paid for.
Oh.
Yeah, Linda was terrific.
Oh, terrific. That bit was so good we used it in the next picture. Maybe you saw it, Jason. Flaming Sea. You remember?
I guess I missed that one.
I saw it.
Huh?
As you said, Mr. Allen, Linda Gale was terrific.
No offense, Felicia.
I think I'd better go to Kent.
I think I'd better go too, boys. Felicia. You feeling better?
I'm all right, Jason.
I'm sorry about this.
It's all right. I asked for it. Anyway, I like fires. We always went to see them in Tacoma.
Felicia, they're... no fun to watch on a boat. No matter what Alan and Donovan think.
Why did you say that?
No special reason. I just don't want you getting any ideas aboard my boat.
Ideas like what?
Ideas like you've got. You may have seen a lot of fires in Tacoma, Felicia, but you've never seen one at sea, and you've never put one out.
Don't you think I could?
I don't know. But I don't want to watch you try. This time there might not be a mink coat handy. She walked away toward her compartment to be with her husband, but he wasn't there. I found that out a few minutes later back on the fantail. I took my concertina back there to relax in the fishing chair in the quiet night. Sherwood came back to listen.
That's very nice, Jason. Very nice. You're very lucky to have something to be quiet with.
Quiet, Mrs. Chief.
So was loneliness.
Why did you marry her, Shirley? She doesn't any more belong in this gang of yours than a Missouri school teacher.
Well, it's funny you said that. I was in love with a Missouri school teacher once. Yeah, back in the third grade.
You come from Missouri?
Nobody seems to be born in Hollywood, Jason. You fly there, maybe run there. But you're not born there.
Now, slack off a little, Sherwood. I've met a couple of pretty nice people from out there. I had a charter once for a director and his wife. They brought along a couple of actor friends. We had a nice, quiet cruise. Fine people.
Yeah, maybe you could be a fine person if you had someone you loved. Someone who loved you.
And just because you lost that someone you loved, you're going to louse up the life of a girl who might find someone she could love and love her.
What are you talking about?
You. You're Linda Gale. She's dead, Mr. Sherwood, and she's not coming back. No matter how many times you try to marry her memory, she's dead. She's not coming back, no matter how much you loved her.
Whatever gave you the idea I loved Linda Gale?
You married her?
She planned the whole thing. Yes, I was a big man in Hollywood. I could help her. That's all there was to it. She didn't love me.
But you loved her?
Linda Gale? I hated her.
We'd cut past the Delta and out into the Gulf while Sherwood and I were talking. But Sherwood hadn't changed as much as the scenery. He still had that stern, hungry look that I realized then, for the first time, reflected the disillusionment inside him. I left him there to think and walked forward into the wheelhouse.
Ah, Jason, you could not sleep, huh?
No, Louis. Thinking about our friends, Alan and Donovan.
Huh? Do you find this interesting?
In a morbid sort of way.
At least the sea is giving us no trouble.
I have the feeling that if those characters below wanted to, they could rustle up a storm.
I imagine that the Gulf of Mexico is a little out of their jurisdiction.
Well, maybe. But I'll still be glad when this cruise is over.
Well, they are paying us well, you know?
Yeah, and we're earning every penny of it. Smell something?
Only fresh air, which I will admit is somewhat of a novelty after the atmosphere of the French Quarter.
I'm serious. Don't you smell it?
No?
Louis, it's smoke.
Huh? You are right, Jason.
Look, it's coming out of the engine room. Slow to one-third.
Who is
Jason? Jason, you smell smoke?
Yeah, Alan, just stay below. I'll take care of it.
Donovan! Donovan, wake up that port-hawk.
Keep him out of the way, too.
Kidding? We gotta get some pictures of this thing.
Jason, what's the matter?
Looks like a fire. She would stand clear.
Where's Felicia?
She was below the last time I saw her.
How do you think it started, Jason?
I'm not sure, Alan, but I've got a pretty good idea.
What do you mean?
You boys here were thoughtful enough to tell her about the trouble you had on your honeymoon to Hawaii. I'm afraid Felicia got the idea putting out a fire was part of the regular audition for being your wife.
Wait a minute. You mean she started it?
That doesn't matter now. Just let me this hatch. Stuck.
Here, let me help you.
You see if you can find her, Sherwood. I'll get this.
All right. Felicia.
Anything I can do, Jason?
I don't know, Alan. What part did they give you in the last fire?
No time for smart talk. Now, come on.
I didn't know you guys had time for anything else.
Will you tell me what I can do?
I'll have to get at it from below. This won't come open.
Jason, wait. Will you tell me what I can do?
Just take notes. You may be able to use this bit in Felicia's first picture. Donovan and the photographer were topside by then, and I had to fight my way through them to get into the wheelhouse.
How'd it start, Jason?
Is it bad, Jason?
It doesn't look good, Louis. Cut the engines and stand by topside with the CO2 extinguisher.
Oui, Jason.
I practically ripped open the after companionway door leading to the engine room space. Smoke came rolling out into the companionway, and inside I saw the bright orange glare that meant things were worse than I figured. I grabbed an extinguisher off the bulkhead just inside the opening and worked my way on my hands and knees. I was trying to spot the base of the fire. It was hard to see in the center of that billowing smoke. I heard Sherwood first, coughing and spitting as his lungs choked in the thick, oily smoke. Then I saw Felicia. She was right in the center of the flaming engine room, standing there with her hands hanging limply by her side. She looked helpless and scared. Whatever she'd been trying to do to stop the fire, she'd given up. And it wasn't important to me or anybody else now whether she'd started it. I grabbed her by the arms and jerked her out from between the diesel engines. I shoved her behind me and then brought the fire extinguisher up where I could get it working.
I couldn't do it, Kent.
Never mind, Felicia, never mind. Yeah. Just keep out of the way now. Here, give me that thing, Jason.
Look out, Sherwood.
I said give it to me.
All right, Sherwood. As long as you've got it, hit that stream right into the base of the fire.
Yes, I know what I'm doing.
Well, then start pouring and pouring fast. We've got to stop it before it gets to that gasoline drum.
Here goes.
That's it, Sherwood. Keep it on those rags there. That's where our fire started.
Jason, I'm sorry. I didn't know it would make all this trouble.
I'll talk to you later.
There. That about got it, Jason.
A little more over there.
Yeah.
Now I'll get this overhead hatch open so Louie can take care of the finishing touches.
Ooh. Do you mind if I go to my compartment, Jason?
Go ahead, Shirley. You've earned a rest.
May I go with you, Kent?
Well, sure. If you want to.
I started the fire, Kent. I heard Mr. Allen and Mr. Donovan talking about that time on the cruise to Hawaii, how Linda Gale put out the fire. But I couldn't do it, Kent. Thank you for helping me.
I'm glad I was able to help, Felicia.
Linda Gale wouldn't have needed any help, would she?
No, Felicia. She wouldn't have needed any. But she's dead now. She can't bother either of us anymore.
No, Kent. I don't think she can.
If it weren't so tragic, it'd almost be funny, the way two people go out looking for the Golden Fleece in two different directions, like Felicia and Sherwood, when they could find it so much more quickly if they looked in the same place, together.
A load of gold upon my back, I sell my coal.
The coal peddler will always be around with his lonesome chant, and the song of the Blackberry Woman will be heard in New Orleans till the end of time. Next week, we'll be sailing from here again, searching with somebody new. We'd like you to be with us aboard the Golden Fleece.
Jason and the Golden Fleece, starring MacDonald Carey with Bill Conrad as Louis DeMont, is written by Cleve Herman and Herb Ellis and directed by Arthur Jacobson. Portions transcribed. Original music is composed and conducted by Frank Worth. Also heard tonight were Stacey Harris as Frank Allen, Tony Barrett as Dick Donovan, Charlotte Lawrence as Felicia, Bill Boucher as Kent Sherwood, and John Larch as the photographer. Jason and the Golden Fleece is heard by our armed forces overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. A lot of people go on vacation in June. The highways are pretty crowded. It's a good idea to take it easy. Excess speed is one of the major causes of automobile accidents. That's what America's professional truck drivers are taught. That's why they drive ahead of themselves. You drive ahead of yourself, too. Remember, speed is the number one killer on the road. This afternoon, it's Adventure with Counter Spy on NBC.